This is the Sunday Catholic Word, a production of Catholic Answers, the only podcast to look at the Sunday Mass readings from an apologetics perspective.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Sunday Catholic Word, a podcast where we reflect on the upcoming Sunday Mass readings and pick out the details that are relevant for explaining and defending our Catholic faith. I'm Carlo Broussard, staff apologist and speaker for Catholic Answers, and the host for this podcast. In this episode, we're going to focus on two details in the readings for this upcoming 16th Sunday of Ordinary Time, Year B. The first detail is found in the second reading, taken from Ephesians 2, 13 through 18, and the relevant apologetical topic is that we as Christians are no longer bound by the ceremonial precepts of the Old Covenant, which would include the Sabbath precept. The second detail is in the Gospel reading, which is taken from Mark 6, 30 through 34. The relevant topic, which isn't all that apologetical in nature, is the Church's teaching on the proper rest that needs to be taken on the Lord's Day. Let's start with Paul from Ephesians 2, 13 through 18. Here's the whole passage. In Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have become near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, he who made both one and broke down the dividing wall of enmity through his flesh, abolishing the law with its commandments and legal claims, that he might create in himself one new person in place of the two, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile both with God in one body through the cross, putting that enmity to death by it. He came and preached peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access in one spirit to the Father. The detail that I want to focus in on is Paul's teaching that Christ, quote, broke down the dividing wall of enmity through his flesh, abolishing the law with its commandments and legal claims, close quote. The question becomes here, which law and which claims? Consider that the dividing wall refers to a wall in the Jerusalem temple that separated the different precincts at the temple where the Gentiles and Israelites could pray. The Gentiles prayed in the outer courts, and the Israelites prayed and offered sacrifice in the inner courts. This is the context that illumines the aspects of the law and legal claims that Paul has in mind. Whatever aspects of the law and legal claims that pertained only to the Jews and not to the Gentiles are the ones that Paul says are abolished. Now, this can't refer to the Ten Commandments, which according to Romans 2, 14 through 15, is merely a revealed expression of the natural moral law, because such a law applies to both Jews and Gentiles insofar as they are all human beings. Therefore, Paul must be referring to those aspects of the law and legal claims that were specific to the Jews and their way of life, which separated them from the Gentiles. And this would include circumcision, animal sacrifice, dietary laws, festival days, the Sabbath, etc. This is apologetically significant because, as many of you listening know, Seventh-day Adventists claim that we as Christians are still bound to keep the Sabbath. That's to say, we must worship God on Saturday. But Paul's teaching here in our second reading proves otherwise. Paul teaches this elsewhere. Consider, for example, Colossians 2:16. There Paul writes, quote, therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink or with regard to a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths. By food and drink, he means all the laws given to the Israelites concerning what they could and could not eat and drink. The other three items are found clustered together as well in 2 Chronicles 8:13. By festival, Paul means the yearly festivals, like the Feast of Unleavened Bread, Passover, the Feast of Weeks, and the Feast of Tabernacles. By new moon, he means the monthly feast. And by Sabbaths, plural, Paul means either the Sabbath that is celebrated weekly, so you have like multiple Sabbaths, a Sabbath one week, a Sabbath another week, or both the weekly Sabbath and the weeks of years spoken of in Leviticus 25:8 and a variety of other passages, which were called Sabbaths. Now, notice that no one is to pass judgment on Christians concerning Sabbaths, just as no one can pass judgment on them concerning food and drink, the yearly festivals, and the new moon monthly feasts. This means that Christians are no longer bound to hold to the Sabbath law, just as they are no longer bound to hold fast to the Mosaic law's precepts governing these other things. So the Seventh-day Adventist claim is falsified by Paul's teaching in both our second reading, Ephesians 2:13-18, and Colossians 2:16. So, our second reading gives us an opportunity to reflect upon this particular issue in conversations with Seventh-day Adventists. Namely, are we bound to worship God on Saturday like the Jews were? And of course, the answer is no. And then it provides opportunity for us to reflect further in Colossians 2:16 upon the same issue. And so whenever you combine those two passages together, Colossians 2:16 and this second reading here from Ephesians 2:13-18, you have a pretty strong case for our claim that we are no longer bound to worship God on the Sabbath. Let's now turn to the gospel reading, which again is taken from Mark 6:30-34. Here's what we read. The apostles gathered together with Jesus and reported all they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while." People were coming and going in great numbers, and they had no opportunity even to eat. So they went off in the boat by themselves to a deserted place. People saw them leaving, and many came to know about it. They hastened there on foot from all the towns and arrived at the place before them. When he disembarked and saw the vast crowd, his heart was moved with pity for them, for they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. The detail that I want to zero in on here is the idea of the apostles having to rest after their laborious work for the Lord. One level of reflection would be the need for us to achieve appropriate rest within the context of ministry. Another level is the need to achieve appropriate rest on Sunday, the Lord's Day. Interestingly, this detail is related to the previous detail about the Sabbath. Even though we're no longer bound to observe the Sabbath, the idea of rest does carry over to our celebration of Sunday, the Lord's Day. Now, rest on the Lord's Day doesn't normally have any apologetical significance or importance. However, insofar as there may be some who have extreme ideas as to what Sunday rest is, I suppose the information that I'll share here can take on an apologetical character. I simply want to walk through the Catechism of the Catholic Church and what it says about rest on the Lord's Day. Surprisingly, it has quite a bit to say about it, and so I thought it would be fruitful to think through it with you here. Let's start with paragraph 2184. Here, the Catechism simply states that we need rest on the Lord's Day. It states, "The institution of the Lord's Day helps everyone enjoy adequate rest and leisure to cultivate their familial, cultural, social, and religious lives." So that we must rest, it is so. And then notice, too, the Catechism articulates what that rest is ordered toward. Generally speaking, cultivating familial, cultural, social, and religious lives. Paragraph 2185 is where the Catechism begins to get a bit more specific as to what this rest involves and doesn't involve. It states this, "On Sundays and other holy days of obligation, the faithful are to refrain from engaging in work or activities that hinder the worship owed to God, that hinder the joy proper to the Lord's Day, and that hinder the performance of the works of mercy and the appropriate relaxation of mind and body. Family needs or important social service can legitimately excuse from the obligation of Sunday rest. The faithful should see to it that legitimate excuses do not lead to habits prejudicial to religion, family life, and health." Notice the Catechism forbids work that would, quote-unquote, hinder the worship owed to God and the joy proper to the Lord's day, the performance of the works of mercy, and the appropriate relaxation of mind and body. It does not forbid work absolutely. This implies that some work can be done on condition it doesn't conflict with these important things. So, just as a side note here, cutting your lawn, doing the gardening on Sunday is not forbidden precisely because it could be appropriate relaxation of mind and body for some, right? For some people, doing that sort of yard work is the appropriate relaxation of mind and body, which would be fitting to engage in on the Lord's Day. At least that's my humble opinion. The Catechism acknowledges there can be just reasons for work, family needs, and important social services. And we're talking about like our daily work that we do for a living. To this point, the Catechism goes on to quote St. Augustine from Book 19 of his City of God, "The charity of truth seeks holy leisure. The necessity of charity accepts just work." Now, the Catechism goes on in paragraph 2186 to specify a few things that can make up the rest on Sundays. It lists the following: devoting time and care to their families and relatives, reflection, silence, cultivation of the mind, and meditation. And of course, it's not talking about Eastern stuff there, but Christians reflecting on the life of Christ. In paragraph 2187, the Catechism focuses on the common effort needed to sanctify Sundays. It states this: "Sanctifying Sundays and holy days requires a common effort. Every Christian should avoid making unnecessary demands on others that would hinder them from observing the Lord's Day. Traditional activities like sport, restaurants, etc., and social necessities like public services require some people to work on Sundays. But everyone should still take care to set aside sufficient time for leisure. With temperance and charity, the faithful will see to it that they avoid the excesses and violence sometimes associated with popular leisure activities. In spite of economic constraints, public authority should ensure citizens a time intended for rest and divine worship. Employers have a similar obligation toward their employees." Finally, the Catechism affirms the good of Sunday rest and leisure for the society, stating, "In respecting religious liberty and the common good of all, Christians should seek recognition of Sundays and the church's holy days as legal holidays. They have to give everyone a public example of prayer, respect, and joy, and defend their traditions as a precious contribution to the spiritual life of society. If a country's legislation or other reasons require work on Sunday, the day should nevertheless be lived as the day of our deliverance, which lets us share in this feastal gathering, this assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven." So, the Catechism of the Catholic Church gives us some very profound and deep things to think about when it comes to rest and our interpretation of it on the Lord's Day. So, the readings for this upcoming 16th Sunday of Ordinary Time don't give us too much apologetical material, but it does give enough for reflecting on the issue of whether we're bound as Christians to worship on Saturdays. That has some apologetical value. And a proper understanding of the rest we're called to on the Lord's Day. And as I mentioned, insofar as you have some who might have a false understanding of rest on the Lord's Day, what we've said here can take on apologetical significance. As always, friends, thank you for subscribing to the podcast. Please be sure to tell your friends about it and invite them to subscribe as well at SundayCatholicWord.com. We would appreciate that. You might also want to check out the other great podcasts in our Catholic Answers podcast network: Cy Kellis, Catholic Answers Focus; Trent Horns, The Council of Trent; Joe Heschmeyer, Shameless Popery; and Jimmy Akins, A Daily Defense, all of which can be found at Catholic.com. One last thing, if you're interested in getting some cool mugs and stickers with my logo, Mr. Sunday Podcast, go to shop.catholic.com. I hope you have a blessed 16th Sunday of Ordinary Time, year B. Until next time, God bless.
Thank you for listening to the Sunday Catholic Word. Find more great shows by visiting CatholicAnswersPodcasts.com or just search for Catholic Answers wherever you listen to podcasts.